go ahead and for tonight's study tonight, we're going to be looking at a couple references in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 3. Looking at a few concepts tonight, a tidbit when you compare to the entire scriptures, but quite a bit here in these few words. So Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12 is where we're going to start. As you go ahead and turn there, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little background, a little test, or a little foresight of what we're going to be looking at tonight. Specifically, we're going to look at how the Word of God leads us. The Word of God leads us. And I think very oftentimes you would say that I have not always looked at the Word of God to lead us or to lead me to where you need to go. Oftentimes we look to ourselves in the immediate time, in the immediate circumstance, and we say, self, whatever, what you think the best thing to do is. Maybe we go to others and counsel with them and ask them what to do. And then maybe at the very end, or maybe at the time where you feel like you can't do anything else, that's the time when we ask God for help or seek his word. David, when he went to move the cart in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, he asked the captains of thousands what they should do with the ark. And he went around and asked and basically got a consensus and then went ahead and moved the ark. We didn't see any time there where the Lord was consulted. And that was the same reference in which Uzzah was killed when the cart stumbled when they were moving the ark and he perished. And immediately we see David carrying the ark aside, carrying it and not putting it on a cart. And then you see in the next chapter, there's a time of self-evaluation with David. And then chapter 15, you see him actually moving the ark the way it was instructed in the previous, as Moses had spelled it out in Exodus. And so sometimes we don't always get it, and there's costs involved. And I believe that those costs sometimes get us off track, of course. But God is so gracious and loving upon us sometimes, and all the time actually, that sometimes he knows we don't get it all the time. We're weak, right? We're not always powerful. We don't always have great confidence. We don't always go right to the Lord and ask for his help. So there's a learning process. God works through a process of time, doesn't he? We don't always know everything up front. We don't know what tomorrow will behold. In fact, we look back through our lives. Some of you are young and some of you are older and at the right age, of course, and you realize, what if I knew now, then what I know now? You look back and you're like, man, I would have made a different decision. I would have done something differently. And God is so gracious upon us. We know that he works through a process of time. He teaches us what we shall do from day to day. If you look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 22 tonight, we're going to be looking at being aware of pride, our individual pride that we have within ourselves, the haughty of mind, the part where we puff ourselves up and we think we know what to do or we know what should be done. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as anyone else, and that happens to me quite often. And then I look to the Lord at the last minute, or maybe at the most desperate time. So we see here in verses 12 through 22 some things that folks error in some way. So we'll read these few verses and then we'll talk about it. So let's start in verse 12 of chapter 6. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deceiveth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity comes suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven or an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. Remember that verse. That verse will be brought up later on, and it does come up numerous times throughout the Proverbs. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. Verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we see a number of things mentioned here. We could probably easily describe many of these, and I can't describe every one of them tonight to you, but I will say that these are not things that God likes. He already describes in verse 16 that there are a number of things that he hates. And we see one that soweth discord among the brethren mentioned at least twice here in other places in the Proverbs. One that goes through and actually deceives or causes trouble or causes mischief. And when I compare a lot of these things to a young child, one that does not have understanding, one that may be acting in the flesh right away and not even being saved or even understanding the Bible, you see a number of things mentioned here that are common. Walketh with a froward mouth, a naughty person in verse 12, one that runneth to problems or runneth towards mischief. And all we know is that these things are those things we should flee up from. Let's look at a few of these, and let's look specifically at the proud look. Verse 17. A proud look. What does that mean? Well, I think of a proud mind, someone that's very high on themselves, often described by God as one that leadeth to destruction. They might know everything. They might not want guidance. They might not be seeking God's will. So let's look at a passage that describes this a little bit. Proverbs chapter 16. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. And we'll look at two verses here in verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, if we think of a humble spirit, there's a great example in the Bible. We think of someone who had a humble spirit. Who would you think of right away that had a humble and a humble spirit and lowliness of mind? Moses. Jesus Christ. Immediately I came to Jesus. I was thinking of him. Joseph had great patience and great forgiveness. So he wasn't quick to judge his brothers, was he? He let his brothers go and come back and go and eventually tell them who he was, and it was a great blessing, and the whole family came into Egypt and they were protected from the famine. So we know of this humble mind. It is the opposite necessarily of the prideful in verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. One that leads his way into a bad situation. We also see this mentioned in another verse. Let's go ahead and turn to Obadiah 3 and 4. That's page 941 in my Scofield Reference Bible, as Pastor Thomas would say. I always do that with the minor prophets because I'll be up here fumbling and everybody be waiting for me and I won't know where it is.
What page?
941. 3 and 4. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, thou habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? One thing I want to point out here, and that you pick up right away, is that he saith in his heart. He's saying to himself. And when you think of heart in the Bible, what do you necessarily think of? Is it shallow or deep? As far as your passions. It's a deep desire. It's something that you've hidden down deep in your heart, you've heard before. Your inner desires, your firm belief, your faith. You think of something that's high-minded, or maybe something in your mind you think of intellectually, something that maybe you're thinking yourself into a certain circumstance, and maybe it's something that you come to a quick conclusion on. But when you actually have the heart belief, it's something that's rooted within you, something that's you firmly believe in. And we see here that the heart, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwelleth in the clefts of the rock. Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, which the eagle flies very, very high. If you think of many of the other small birds, if you look at a cardinal that flies around, a mockingbird of those songbirds, they don't have the strength and the power to fly up really high. When you fly up really high, you get into higher wind speeds. And the eagle has great strength, as you can see in its size, in its the way it is. So this person is exalting thyself as an eagle. They are like the king. They are the one in charge. They are all that. They have the power. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And in the many verses following, go on to describe the bringing of down. So we see many of times this proud heart. Where does it lead? And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, 6 says, but he giveth more grace. God gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Again, two main words we're discussing here. We see pridefulness, and we see humbling one another, or having a humble mind. He giveth grace unto the humble. It's not described here as one that has a prideful mind or a prideful heart. We don't see grace given unto that individual. As we know, God is all sufficient, and He does give great mercy unto us. How many times have we thought in our hearts, being prideful in certain things, that we were right, and God forgave us of that, pridefulness when we have asked Him to. So humbleness. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Very close by, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. A little bit more descriptive in verse 6 of why it's beneficial to be humble, having a lowliness of mind, putting others before oneself, not trying to bring each other up or bring yourself up to a higher state. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. We see his all-sufficient power here. We see his power that he can do so many things, that he may exalt you in due time. We may not get all of our treasures here on earth. We know they're not here. We may not get all of our rewards here on earth. But he will exalt us in due time. When we all get to heaven, that's where our heaven's laid up, isn't it? That's where our treasure's stored. We don't have barns on this earth to store our spiritual things that we've done for God, the treasure we can count unto him. We know that the barns on earth here, both moth and dust will corrupt, and they'll be taken down and burned, and they'll be cast away, and they'll vanish with this earth someday, no matter if we pass them on or not. Those are material things. But those that have a humble heart, we know that we will be exalted. And it's all in due time, and it's in God's time. Sometimes that is difficult to understand, isn't it? We want our rewards now. We want to find out and get great blessings now. Maybe we want to be rewarded. We want to be exalted. We wanted to be lifted up on high. We want to be recognized, whether it be in the job, workplace, something great you've done, and you want to be recognized for it. At school, for your great willingness to help others, clean up after school, do great things for the teacher, and for whatever organization you're working for. Or at the home, you want the husband to come home and say, "You've done this great thing." And vice versa, "Wife, look what I've done for you." And we all have that desire to seek some kind of praise. You will have your reward, no matter if you've done it knowingly in front of everybody or by yourself. God knows what has been done. There's no reason to lift yourself up high to say, "Hey, look what I've done," as that prideful person that we've read in the scriptures that lifted themselves up as an eagle and make it their nest in the stars. They were puffing themselves up. They were making themselves think they were better than what they were, and they're really lost. They're really gone. And they should have had more of a humble spirit. And it's all something that God works in us through a process of time, through many, with much prayer and supplication, many mistakes, I would say. Sometimes we don't always get it when we've been told by our Lord, "Hey, I don't want you to go here. I want you to go there." And we continue to try to make our way go in that direction. And then through many, many of stumbling or maybe much fighting, we end up hopefully going the right way. So some of us go there immediately to the right place. And I would say a number of us struggle to really know what we should do. How many of us have made a decision and not prayed about it before we've done the decision, made that decision? I've done that many of times. And I look back, I'm like, what if I made the wrong decision? I picked up my family and moved over here. What if I did a prescribed fire on this day when I know that the Lord wasn't in it? He didn't get, and we had a bad wind switch and we had the fire get out, and I am responsible for many of the firefighters on my fire line, and they got burned and killed, and I would feel horrible. And many of the mistakes like that happen, I'm sure. But Lord blesses us in so many ways. Even if we make mistakes, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. So we're not perfect, are we? So how do we go about? How do we go about being wise? How do we go about making right decisions? How do we go about understanding what God's will is for us in this life before we end up looking to somebody else or looking to ourselves or our own power to make a decision? Well, Proverbs obviously is filled with many great blessings. We see, written by Solomon, see at the beginning of Proverbs, it breaks it down into multiple sections. There's six parts of Proverbs. He writes to the sons. He writes about the praise of wisdom, the folly of sin, warnings of and instructions, the words of Augur, and the words of King Lemuel. There's six main sections. And so we're going to look at some of the sections in Two Sons today. Two Sons looking at wisdom. So let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and this is where we'll be for the remainder of time. Without jumping around too much. So Proverbs chapter 3, something that I've looked at before and skipped over a number of things. I didn't really get some of the things that I taught the first time in the teen class. We looked at this many, many months ago, and we focused on some of the scripture. But this time I want to look at mainly verses 1 through 35, just a small section. But mainly on verses 1 through 7. So let's go ahead and look at verse 1. And I'm going to entitle this little tidbit as Guidance and Wisdom, Seek After It. So don't seek after being prideful, or don't seek after things that lift us up to get us recognition. Seek after what God wants us to do. And we see how this happens. We already read in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22, When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And the it is referring to what in that scripture verse? The Word of God. The Word. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it, the Word of God, shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, the Word of God, it shall talk with thee. So let's look at that. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Proverbs. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And we see that already. We see the word already emphasized in some of the verses we already talked about with Proverbs chapter 6. We see heart mentioned. My God, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Again, those inner faiths, those deep down desires that we have, they're hidden deep down in the heart. That's where we hide them. Those are our deepest desires. Let thy heart keep my commandments, the commandments in which I told you to do, those things I told you within the scriptures and my commandments to do. Hide them deep there. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now that could be a confusing verse. We know that all of us die at different times. Maybe some of us will live to be 100 years old. Maybe some of us will live to be 10 years old. Lord has a time and place in which we will be taken from this world and taken out of this world. And we don't know what that time will be, but the Lord does. But I think specifically here that the Lord's talking about that if we make wise decisions, if we look to the Lord for guidance, He shall preserve us. He shall keep us from harm, or stop us from making an idiotic or a dumb decision that will get us into trouble. So long life and peace. Peace, maybe that peace of heart there, that peace of mind. There's many a times I've made a decision and I've toiled with it. I've gone back and forth. Did I make the right decision there? And I did this last week when we did this prescribed fire, and we were there at, I was there really late, and it got out of the zone, and we're putting it out. I'm like, why did I do this? I toiled with it all day. I'm like, why? But it was done, and actually it could have been a lot worse situation. But we did it, and I thought it was the right thing to do, and I still do think it was the right thing to do. But I toiled with it. I didn't really understand it. But God brought me through it and worked late night and got it done. I think that peace of mind, you know, should I have said that to that person and I will never get to talk to that person again, and you struggle with it. You don't have peace about it. Should I have said something differently? I should have done something differently. So keeping those commandments hidden down in our heart shall give us peace and long days. To add to thee. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. This is already a familiar verse. We've already read this in Proverbs chapter 6, right before the verse that I read to you about it shall preserve thee and it shall keep you, talking about the scripture. Bind. We think of binding something. We think of a binder, a three-ring binder. When we have a bunch of loose articles, right? And you got a bunch of stuff all over the place. You got all this stuff. And my wife would say, I got a lot of stuff. And I put it all on my desk. And it's usually like this. And I might have some more stuff over here. And she's trying to work. And everything's all over the place. But when you take a binder and you put little holes in the center of it, everything fits nicely together and evenly together. So it all fits and it's more orderly. And it's attached to one another within the three-ring binder. Now I've made a mess out of everything up here I had organized. Okay, that was mine. So the binder keeps everything together. It keeps it organized. Keeps it, as the word says, bound together or binded or connected with one another. So if I think of binding, we've seen this before, basically locking down. I have tight as to not let it go no matter what. So hold fast to. And I see this mentioned in that Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 21. Very same description. I'll continue on verse 3. It says, bind them about thy neck. Neck, think of if you have a precious item, you don't just stick it in your pocket with all your loose change and all your items and your keys that you're going in and out of your pockets all the time. I don't sit there and take my wedding ring and keep it in my pocket all the time, because what most likely will happen to it, it will fall out and get lost, and it'll be maybe never found again. Things that we bind upon our neck, there are very precious things. My mom has a fingerprint of my dad that she got right before, when he died. And it's a little fingerprint on silver, and she keeps it bound to her neck. She keeps it on all the time because that's very precious to her. It's a reminder, not necessarily because of its value in its gold or its silver. It's very valuable to her. It's very valuable to her faith and her heart there. So she binds it upon her neck. She doesn't stick it in her pocket. She doesn't leave it in the desk drawer all the time. When it goes with her, and it's in a very close location, and it's bound upon the neck, a safe location. Also, it's bound, just as we talk with the binder. It's stuck there. And also something that's bound upon our neck is very dear to us, and it lays oftentimes on the neck very close to our heart. So look at that as being, we're supposed to bound these truths, these commandments of God, close to us, close to our hearts. Something is very valuable to us, and we should look at it that way. The following section, write them upon the table of thy heart. Okay, even going more and more descriptive, think of the fact of taking a piece of metal and engraving something into it. Once you engrave something or you scratch into a piece of metal, it's very, very, very difficult to actually get rid of that scratch. You have to bring it to a jeweler. He puts it on a very high friction piece of cloth or even a polishing wheel, and basically takes off material to get it down to the surface of that scratch and buffs it out. God is to say here, take these commandments and basically carve them into your uttermost desires, into your deepest down desires, your deep faith, so that they will not disappear. They will not easily be rubbed away or lost. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So wisdom shall find your favor in the sight of God and man. And immediately when I thought of that and I looked at the scripture, I didn't understand that specifically. Because man? Why? If we keep the commandments of God in this evil world, why would man have any interest in that? Why would they want us to be upright? Why would they want us to do the right thing? Well, how about this? Wisdom is often sought after. Someone that can make a wise decision can make wise decisions on usually a wide variety of things. Think of King Solomon. People were coming to him for his great wisdom. They weren't necessarily coming to him for great spiritual wealth. Some of them were. But they were coming, hey, what should we do about this? What should we do about that? A guy that is wise is attractive to many people. Hey, it's the stock market. Hey, someone that's really wise in decisions of financial matters. Should I invest so much in this? Should I invest so much in that? Should I take this away? Should I add this? Should I trade these stocks? You know, someone that has great knowledge in that usually makes more informed decision than someone else that doesn't know anything about the stock market. And I'm the one that knows nothing about the stock market. So don't ask me. Ask my wife. But if you wanted to ask me about a certain insect or a certain biological process, you may come to me and say, hey, what do you think about this bug? And I might be able to tell you. I might not be. So wisdom, it's sought after. And the devil attempts to sway us or sway people away from us if there's great wisdom seen in us. So the devil tries to stop his servants, those that have not believed, those that are not eternally secure, from getting to us and seeking wisdom. And the devil will make conflicts between us and the world more difficult. So the devil attempts to lead us away from man, or the man, or the worldly men that are not saved. So I'm still want to press on here. I only have a short amount of time. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. A repeat of what we've already discussed. Trust in the Lord in thy heart. Lean not unto their own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to make a decision and do not be prideful. In all thy ways, verse 6, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He will get all the glory. We should give him all the glory for what has been done and try not to claim it for ourselves. When we start claiming it for ourselves, we will get into trouble, and we could get in that situation where we start going, hey, you know, I really did do that. You know, I really am that good. And maybe I should make some money off of these things that I do, or maybe I should make some profit, or maybe I should get some praise off of what I do. So we are to give him all the credit. We should acknowledge him and give him all the great blessings that he deserves. Verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Straightforward, departing from evil. If we see God as who he is, we will show respect unto him and honor him. We will fear him, and the fear of disappointing him will give us that respect to him. Teachings today, if you think about the worldview and even how religion is being corrupted, We talked about in our team class for many months about the new cart idea and how that kind of relates to world religion nowadays. How we're always looking for something fancy and shiny to jump on the bandwagon, something new, exciting. And to follow after those things could be a great mistake. If we focus only on God's love, we kind of miss out on His judgment, His power. And we lose a little bit of fear there. We lose a little bit of respect. God is not angry. God is not going to judge this world. There's no such thing as hell. That's all false. And that takes away from His power, I believe. We are to treat Him who He is, the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do we respect Him for who He is? We should. If we do that and show Him that type of respect, we will want to resist and go away from evil, because we'll know the consequences more. We'll be more aware of those consequences. We don't want to disappoint the one that we serve. We don't want to disappoint, put Him in another name, the boss. Well, how many times have we heard in many of those, the guy upstairs, oh, the friend next door, the guy that's in the pew next to you, going out to lunch with you. You know, we refer and we bring down the honor and praise given unto the Lord by referring to Him in such a name. We know that He sticks closer than a brother, don't we? We know He's our deepest friend, but we do know that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of all, Lords as well, and we should not forget that. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel, the center of your heart or body, the core. When we feel sick, and some of us have been sick lately, I know a number of you have been sick or ill, and you think about when you get sick, you don't want to do anything. I'm thinking about when you feel sick way down here, and you're like, man, I don't want to eat, I don't want to walk, I don't want to do anything. It's in the center of your body, and it affects everything else. It's the core, the pit of your body, the pit of the stomach, the marrow. What is the marrow? Well, the marrow of thy bones. We should have health to our navel and the center of our body, and to the marrow of thy bones, if we keep His commandments. So, what is marrow? Let me describe it really quickly. The marrow of our bones is a very important part of our body. It produces the lymphocytes, which are differentiated into different cells. So you can have red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. All those things, if you don't have red blood cells, we can't carry oxygen throughout our body, and that's bad, isn't it? If we don't have white blood cells, we can't fight off disease. We don't have platelets in our blood, our blood can't clot, and if we have any kind of cut or anything, we bleed to death. And internally, we can bleed if we don't have platelets, the clotting mechanism. All these things happen in the marrow, in the core of the bone. It's our defense mechanism. It helps us breathe. It gives life to the tissues. And therefore, I would say it's the lifeblood of the body. And God refers to it in verse 7 here as, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow unto thy bones. It shall be our lifeblood. It shall sustain us. And we only scratch the surface and we're out of time. But we know there's many, many other verses in Proverbs. Almost every other verse seems to be is describing this type of wisdom and what it can do for us. And we also see if we don't obey His commandments, we see what it can do, cause much folly. So let's go ahead and close here in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for His guidance and His direction. Lord, We thank you for this time that we've had to look at just some verses. And Lord, lead us in our paths. Allow us to bind thy commandments upon our hearts. Allow them to be bound close to our hearts, around our necks, bound, written and engraved upon our hearts. And you will give us great blessings. You will give us the strength of our navel, great health, and of our bone marrow. Lord, we thank you for keeping us day to day. We thank you for those that have come tonight. We pray for those that are not with us, and Pastor Scott and his family that are gone. We pray for all those that are sick and recovering from either surgery or other things, Lord. We thank you that we were able to come together and look at the scripture tonight. Please bless our time as we come to you and bring our prayer requests and praises to you. We want to honor you in all these things. In your name, amen.